red gold sparks bursting into the cool night air. Christy got up, stretching herself like a tall, elegant cat. She walked a few paces to the pool, bending and putting her hand into it.
Not too cold.
You going in, lover?
Tempting. Lori, you want to wash?
Why?
You kill me, kid. You wash because you get dirty. Right now it's the time of month for me to need to keep extra clean.
When you get bleeding? Why is it dirty?
The four men listened, interested in hearing what answer Christy would give the younger girl.
It's... Gaia. If you don't know why you need to wash, then maybe you and I should talk some, Lori. Get your clothes off and come in the water with me, and I'll tell you some facts of life. Your mother should have... No, forget that.
She turned to Ryan, face flushed in the firelight.
Wipe that grin off, you stupid ape. And stay here and let us get bathed without you ogling us.
I shall sink. Too afraid.
Never you mind. Looks shallow the upstream end of the pool. Come in there and you'll be fine.
The two women went together, moving out of the circle of the fire. Doc Tanner broke the silence among the men.
Perhaps we might show courtesy by keeping our backs turned.
Yeah, be decent.
Ryan shifted his position so that he looked away into the forest. JB was already facing in that direction. Jack was the only one still gazing toward the sheltered little pool of shadowy water.
Young man.
Okay. All right for you two. Got women. I don't. Only done a couple of times. Daughters in Lafayette. Christian lawyer, double nice, and you stop me looking.
Ryan patted the teenage boy on the arm.
Most things a friend can take. But not my blaster and not my woman. So turn your back.
But I just want to have...
Jack, do as I say.
Shit.
Grudgingly, the albino did, his long white hair now released from the red ribbon. They could hear giggling and then a stifled squeal from Lori as she found that the water was colder than she'd expected. Then there was only the sound of splashing, which drowned out any conversation the two young women might be having. Very slowly, Doc Tanner turned his head, ignoring a glare from Ryan.
Hades. They look like a brace of white dolphins sporting together. My lord, but it makes me feel young again. I recall Emily and I once on a... But that's yesterday, and today's today.
Ryan also glanced behind. Lori was cautiously trying to push out of her depth, mouth open, blonde hair trailing behind her. Christy's bright red locks seemed huddled together like a tight ball of flame. The brightness of the fire didn't reach to the shadowy pool. It was hard to make out more than the blurred outlines of the two slim bodies. Christy brought her hands together and threw a great ball of water in the air so that the orange light caught it as it burst into a million tiny sparks of fire. It fell and streaked down over her face and body. JB was honing the technoknife against the sole of his boot in a steady, preoccupied way. Jack stood and walked quickly to the edge of the trees, throwing a muttered few words over his shoulder.
Gonna scout some.
Take care, Jack. Watch out for muties.
But the boy was gone, sulking off into the darkness.
Oh, it was magical, lover.
Christy and Lori rejoined the men around the glowing embers of the fire. Both girls had faces that glowed, and their hair hung damply on their shoulders. Lori knelt in front of Doc Tanner and gave him a great hug and a kiss.
I was in water, Doc. You see me?
No. I mean, yes. Yes, I did. Wonderful, my dear child. Wonderful.
Where's Jack?
Told him not to get his young meat heated by watching you two in the water.
Oh, Ryan. He's one of us, isn't he?
That doesn't mean he can... Oh, hell, just forget it. Anyway, he went off to scout some. It'll do him good, and we can do with help. Food's low. We gotta find us some transport.
Yeah, I guess so. The smell of burning wood so strong from our fire, I couldn't smell anything else even if it was 50 paces off.
All of a sudden, JB grabbed his mini Uzi and dove away from the fire into a dip in the ground.
Someone's coming!
Ryan snatched up the G-12, moving in the opposite direction, hitting cover even before JB. Christy, hair flying, was at his side, the H&K P7A-13 blaster in her hand. Lori stood bewildered by the fire until Doc Tanner pulled her to the earth, protecting her with his own body. The land was quiet. Ryan squinted across the clearing, just able to see JB flattened behind a bank of blooming heather. The armorer half turned, pointing among the trees to the west. The log smoldered, and light gray ash trickled down onto the coals. Ryan thought he caught the far-off noise of an owl hooting, but he couldn't be certain. Then he saw movement, something that flickered for a moment like a will-o'-the-wisp, visible only for a frozen heartbeat behind the trees. There was no moon, and whoever it was had the cunning to close in on them from behind the brightness of the fire, making it almost impossible for their eyes to adjust and see him properly.
I see him. Flat-topped willow right of fire, crouched. Give me the G-12 and I can chill him.
Ryan passed over the rectangular shape of the automatic rifle with its built-in image intensifier.
It's on triple. Won't lift at this range. No recoil.
The girl steadied the blaster against her shoulder, holding her breath, finger caressing the trigger. When the attacker stood up, showing himself, his stark white hair was like a beacon of light in the gloom.
Don't shoot, Christy. Find us a wag to ride.
The vehicle was just over a mile inland. Jack led them through the scattered trees of the forest, across a winding stream, and onto a narrow path.
Saw tracks. Boots. Must have used for water. Not far. Keep double quiet.
Smoke. Not from our fire. Meat cooking.
They hadn't got much farther before Ryan could also catch the scent of roasting meat, making him lick his lips in anticipation.
There.
Jack pointed through the thinning trees, to where the amber glow of flames could be seen.
How many you say?
Saw four. Two old men, two young men. Old men asleep. The wag's just behind fire. Anyone on watch? Couldn't tell. Didn't want to wake him by going close. Saw blasters, old scattergun, a couple of hand pistols. Wag's armored.
That was nothing new. It was difficult to find any kind of truck in the whole of the Deathlands that hadn't been turned into a sekwag. When even the brightness of day brought winking death, it was madness not to take some care. As Ryan moved a few cautious steps closer, trying to make out if the camp was being patrolled, his boots crushed some small plants, and the air was filled with the smell of wild garlic.
I'll go around with Christy, set Kronz, and go on a time count?
Ryan nodded. As far as he could make out, the strangers hadn't set a watch. That meant they must feel reasonably secure where they were, which meant, in turn, that they should be easy meat for Ryan and the others to sneak up on and ambush.
Go to the wag and check it out. Could be someone else in there. Doc, Laurie, and me will take out the four by the fire. No chances, like Trader used to say. Blast first and weep later. Better we chill them than they chill us.
The G-12 was still set on triple burst. Jack had his satin-finished Magnum cocked and ready. Laurie carried her little .22 PPK. The blaster wasn't any kind of man-stopper, but the girl was good with it, and it would slow folks down. Doc hefted the huge Lama. He'd got the hammer slotted for the single 63-caliber shotgun barrel. Ryan glanced around at them, checking his luminous cron.
JB goes in 3 minutes, 20 seconds from now. All ready?
He got nods from everyone.
Move in closer. Careful.
The sweep second hand crept slowly around the white dial. Ryan watched it, also trying to make out what sort of a wag they were going after. It was difficult to judge, as the vehicle was behind the fire, and partly obscured by some bushes, but it looked good. Could be an old Mercedes camper, or maybe even a Volvo body. It was clear that a lot of work had been done on it. Blaster ports had been cut on all sides, and there was evidence that some crude armoring had been welded on. To Ryan's experienced eye, the wag looked damn good. The tires seemed solid, and he couldn't see much sign of rusting around the wheel hubs, which was always a giveaway of a wag in poor condition. They were close enough now to catch snippets of conversation from the group. One of the men was speaking to what looked like the youngest of the four.
So how much jack do you think that stoner bitch and her fat-ass hubby's gonna pay us for this load of nose candy, George?
Don't know, but it better be worth our while for us to be driving through this fucking jungle. Last time we did this, I didn't even get enough to pay for an entire day with that gaudy slut back in Trent.
Although Ryan didn't know who they were referring to, he'd heard enough to know who these men were.
Jolt dealers. Fire-blasted scum. They deserve what's gonna happen to them. Okay, people. 10 seconds. 5. Now.
Ryan burst through the undergrowth, gun at his hip, followed closely by Doc and Glory. JB came whooping out of the far side of the clearing, followed by Jack Lauren, long white hair streaming behind him, looking like an avenging angel of death and destruction. Christy was last, covering the boy as he sprinted to the wag, ripped open the driver's door, and disappeared inside. There wasn't even a firefight. The two conscious members never even had the time to make a move, while the two others were jerked from sleep by their attackers and held at gunpoint before they were properly awake. Jack's recon had been accurate. Nobody was lurking inside the wag. There were just the four of them. The oldest man, Meade, had a long, straggling beard that reached to his belt. His partner mumbled constantly and appeared to be slow-witted. The two other people, Renz and Jorg, stood trembling together, eyes staring in shock at the strangers who come shrieking at them from the darkness. Renz, hands in the air, glared at the strangers. His first thought had been Mutie's. Then he'd guessed that some other trader or traveler had followed them and run the ambush. But these six weren't like anyone he'd ever met. The leader was obviously the man with the patch over his left eye. He was tall and well-built, wearing dark clothes and a long coat. He was hefting a blaster such as Renz had never seen. The second in command was the small man with the battered hat and the glinting glasses, who carried a machine pistol.
"Keep quiet and give us no trouble, and you get to live some more. We want the wag, nothing else."
"Maybe some stew, too."
This white-skinned boy walked with a terrifying air of crazed menace. With hair like spun snow and eyes like the embers that glowed in the middle of the fire, the lad looked like something built by a mountain shaman for a midnight ritual. One of the attackers was a dotard who looked even older than Meade, and he was holding a handgun that had two barrels. Renz looked at the two women. Despite the danger to them all, he felt himself stirring excitedly. The tall, slender blonde wore clothes that seemed designed to beg a man to take her, and the other, a few years older, had hair like living flames. Both women also had blasters, holding them with the ease that only comes with experience and use. The wind soughed through the branches of a grove of fragrant sassafras trees to the west, brightening the ashes of the fire, stirring dancing spurs of orange and yellow from the smoldering ends of the branches.
"You take our wagon, and we'll all get chilled."
"The key's in it, Jack?"
"Yeah. Juiced and ready to go."
"Start it up. And I guess you're right about that stew. Smells good. Christy, you and Doc service out a bowl each."
The meat was rancid, with a ragged lace of rotting gristle around each piece, but the turnip greens and sweet potatoes were fresh and good. Renz and his jolt dealers sat together, guarded, watching with sullen resentment. Jorg had begun to moan again for letting themselves be taken so easily.
"Oh, son of a bitch. God damn it. Chillers come out of the brush and take our food and our wagon. You sit there and don't do shit to stop them."
"Shut your flap, you triple stoop. They got blasters, don't they?"
"You ain't worth doodly-squat, you dumb fucker."
"Our food, our wag. We got no food or nothing now. What are you gonna do about it, Renz? Tell me that."
Renz didn't know. His philosophy of life was very simple. If someone was more powerful than you, then you crawled belly down. If you were stronger, then you beat the shit out of them. These six strangers turned his guts to water.
"Want to take the rest of the food? There's some dried stuff and self-heats in the wag. Last us a couple days."
"Nah."